Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. It gives me great privilege, and surely I'm highly honored. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me the motivation to want to continue to be consistent on Block Talk Radio. And brothers and sisters, we have came up with an idea, and I think it's an excellent idea. And that idea is to be able to speak to people that would like to ask me several questions. Thus far, it's been very successful, and I'll be remiss if I do not give credit to those who have called in and asked very intelligent questions, and questions that allow me to have to take some time out to think about what the answer ought to be. I don't claim to be anyone's expert, and I don't claim to be better than anyone, and surely I'm not a scholar. But I will tell you that I'm in tune with my nature, and I listen to my soul, and I try to be obedient to God. And God created for us the angels to assist us. He created the jinn to assist us. Now, some people believe that all the jinns are a devil. That's not true. Allah does not create a devil. He created one creature to be perfect, and that creature is called angel. They are perfect, and they have a job to do. And their job is to submit to the will of Allah. So they don't rationalize, and they don't think from their heart, because they don't have a heart, they are being. But nevertheless, they work strictly for God. Now you say, who is these angels? Well, these angels are the one that when God wants snow, the angels that create snow comes out. Rain, you got angels for rain. For the sun to rise every morning and set, that's the angels. What about the stars? That's the angels. What about the moon? That's the angels. What about the earth? The earth in triple darkness, you plant seeds in it, and very things grow that you can eat. That's the angels. What about in the womb of your mother? Who formed this child in that womb? The angels. Those are angels. Now, they are angels for life. They are angels for death. If you don't believe that, the death angel comes and gets you. And you can cry, and you can holler, and you can scream, and you can go to another country. The angel is going to do what God will him to do. And whether you're a little child, or whether you're a teenager, whether you're a grown man or a woman, the angel is called to bring that one out of this world, you're leaving. That's the will of God. But the angels was also created to protect us. Isn't that something? So it sits on our shoulders. Every human being has an angel on their shoulder. But that jinn, he was created out of smokeless fire. Now, he didn't know he had another side until he became jealous. And when he became jealous, he decided that he was not going to accept us. And the reason being is we was created out of mud and clay and dust. And because of that reason, he was out of smokeless fire. He wasn't accepting that. He thought he was the one because he has a right to change. He can change, just like we human beings can change, but not the angels. They cannot change. But who is this jinn? This jinn was created to protect us. If you look at the story of Solomon, Solomon had the jinns with him. Solomon had the angels with him. And Solomon could talk to the ants. Solomon was a very, very loyal and obedient human being to God. He was a messenger of God, Solomon. And we don't usually talk about Solomon. The only time we bring Solomon up is when we say, how did he handle 950 wives? 950 wives. Then we talk about. Other than that, you don't bring Solomon up too much. But Solomon, if you study him, you'll find out how righteous he was, because he was in tune with God's creation. But the point is that there are some gens that chose to serve Iblis, so they become a devil. They had a right to. They can change. Well, the jinn can come to you as a dog. A jinn can come to you as a cat. A jinn can come to you as a horse. The jinn can get into anything. Yes, come to you as a human being. And he creates things that will throw you off. That jinn can create a holy Quran. And some people read that Quran. And some people just out of their mind. And the only reason why you know they're out of their mind doesn't fit your soul. But you can read that Quran, and if you ain't in tune with your soul, he got you. And all of a sudden you read about the women can't do this, the women can't do that, the women better do this and better do that. That Quran you need to put in the garbage, because that is not the Quran that Allah has created for our nature. But you won't be able to define it, because you're not intellectual over the Quran. You're learning the Quran. So you don't know which is real and what isn't. What is real that you have that is superior is your five senses. And because those five senses is saying to you, I don't think I will continue to read that, you put it away. But we don't listen. We don't listen. So we don't understand that. But that's that jinn. He can switch up like that. But he cannot be a human being. That's what he does not like. And Allah, when he created us and breathed into that dead earth, he wasn't bowing down to no dead earth. He said, wait till I breathe into Adam my spirit. And when that spirit came through the nostrils of Adam, that mud came alive. And that mud came here very educated. For the angels who do nothing but to submit to the will of Allah, the angels, brothers and sisters, didn't even know their names. So that should tell you that they can't even rationalize. They only do what God wills them. So when Iblis asked the angels, and we talk about the original angels because there were two angels up there, then I just said, let me repeat myself. I just told you that the angels was right. They was created to do right. But they can do wrong also, just like we human beings. The angel cannot. So he asked the angel. He said, what is this that God is creating? He said, he's created another being. He said, what do you want to create that for? He said, we don't know. We only accept what God creates. So when we came about, when our animal came about, everybody bowed down but the angels. That's what it read, the angels. Now you got to say to yourself, if the angels created to do right, why would they say the angels? Well, there was two kinds of angels. One angel can do nothing but right. The other one is a so-called angel. Now, I like to use this metaphor. It's like being married. And you're an older guy. You're 20 years older than your wife. So every time you go to the barbershop, they would say to you, how is that beautiful young wife you have? Oh, she's an angel. And then 10 years later, they say the same thing. How's that young, beautiful wife? Oh, she's an angel. 30 years go by, 40 years go by. Now, she's not young anymore, but they still look at her as what? Being a young individual. She's 40, he's 60. She's 50, he's 70. But here come that husband. He comes home to his house, and he realizes his wife is not dead. But he has a young lady with him. There comes the wife with filled groceries, and she comes in, and she says, "Oh, darling, who is that?" Say, "Oh, this is my second wife." She said, "What? Your second wife?" She said, "Oh, okay." She didn't even ask for the young lady's name. She just went in there, put the bags down, and all of a sudden something shot past her. Shoo! It was a knife. He grabbed that woman, here come another knife. Shoom! Then she grabs the gun. And she's literally firing at him. But it hit the woman, but she wanted to kill him. And bullets just shooting over his head. So the next day, he goes into the barber shop and says, "How's that beautiful angel you have?" And what do he say? "She's a devil." Now, that's a great metaphor to show you even we can turn. But we the crown of creation. But that's what happened to the jinn. The jinn loved everything that God created until he saw Adam. When he saw Adam, he became what? Jealous. And because he became jealous, he wanted to do away with Adam. Isn't that something? So the angels, the original angels, God turned to them and said, "Tell me your names." They couldn't. They said, "Oh, Lord, we only know what you taught us," meaning Allah never named them. Gave them one general name, angel. But yet the angels have names. Who named them? Adam. Adam told them their names, and he just come into the world. So that tells us that we're gifted. We can name anything. Everything you see that got a name on it came from man. I'll give you a great example. You have men of knowledge. Scholars, you have imams that will say to you without a shadow of a doubt, they will say to you that do not touch me with that left hand. Now, you've been created by God. You didn't make those hands. The angels were given the will to give you two hands. But did the angels name it Ham? No. But man named it, and he gave it a further name, the right hand, the left hand. That's man. So who made the left hand dirty than the right hand? Most of the Islamic scholars, because they don't know what you're doing with your left hand. They don't know what you're doing with your left side. You got to be on your right side. Even when they bury you, they turn you to the right side. Directly speaking, that's paganism. Who told you that one side of the human being is different than the other side? These are the things that's being taught to us, but we do not go back and study. So how is it that the left hand is dirty than the right hand when God created in the womb of my mother? Oh, I know some people come out left-handed. And you know what the scholars will say, imams today? You need to learn how to write with your right hand. Who in the world is them to say that that young man could come out and write with his left hand? Oh, he's cursed, according to them. Now, this is Islam. This ain't Christianity. This is Islam. He's cursed. So now he feels inferior. He got to change the left hand to the right hand. That's stupidity, as ignorance. And this is what's wrong with us, that we have people in here that really don't read the Quran at all. Well, I'll take that back. They read it, but they can't comprehend it. So let's get to this hand. So if you recognize, if you take your mind and just think, you tell that right hand, yes, you do. You tell that right hand, pick up that box. and the right hand is getting ready to grab that box. But the box is too heavy. Isn't it amazing that the left hand will help him? We don't tell the left hand to pick it up. We never say, left hand, go pick up the box and help your right hand. It just helps automatically. So theoretically speaking, brothers and sisters, the left hand is more submissive to the will of God than the right hand. Because you will never grab anything with your right hand, pardon me, with your left hand, knowing that the right hand can get it better. So we put emphasis on the left hand. The left hand is a curse. Who cursed it? And who named it? But Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, names, he named the two controls. But you got Muslims believing that those are God's hands. And I've heard scholars say, I will see his hand in the day of judgment. Allah says, I need nothing from this world. Why would you see my hands? I don't have no hands. The little simple things that we put on our mind, left hand, right hand. But yet, if you go around the Kaaba and use that unintelligent, and you didn't follow the crowd, you will go to your right, because that's what they do right now. You can be the first one standing on their left side, but they won't come to you. They'll go all the way around the right side to get to you. But let them go around the right side of the Kaaba and see if they don't get stopped. Why? Because nobody's going that way. Then I just tell you, Allah needs nothing from this creation. So it's counterclockwise. So it's to the left, not to the right. So Allah do everything opposite than man. But we don't understand it. We can't comprehend it. So no such thing as a dirty left hand, a dirty right hand. But Satan has a right to be a devil. Yes, he does. And I got a thing in the mail by a young lady who wrote a beautiful story. And the story was about man. And the story talked about man has only two lives. One, the life of himself, and the life of God. And if you don't follow what God says, then God will punish you. But the way it was written, and I comprehend it, is that we have to do what God says. No, we gave you a choice. And because you have a choice, brothers and sisters, because you have a choice, the choice is very simple. The angels have a job. You come in at 9 and you leave at 9. You have to do it. You're on the job. You have to work overtime. You're on the job. But when you're in control, you make your own decision. Whether you're going to work on your time and do what you want to do, because why? You're in control. So there's no compulsory in Islam. Tell Islam none whatsoever. So because there's no compulsory, God doesn't make you do anything. Or he goes so far as to say, those who are out there that chose not to come to Islam, there's no burden on you. Wow. I won't judge you because you won't come to Islam. But believe in one God in the hereafter. So do you know that God will judge that individual if he or she has more good and bad, they make it to paradise. But you'll have some men say, no, they're going to hell because they never said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That's not in the Holy Quran. You will not find that in the Holy Quran. For Allah is a just God. And he gave you ability to accept him or reject him. That's your responsibility. So Satan don't like that. Satan don't like that the jinn does not have the same will as man, as the human being. It's just like you ask your mother for an apple, and you ask your mother for another apple. But in her mind, she's thinking she's talking to the other twin. But here comes the other twin and say, I want an apple. And she said, now I believe I gave them an apple, but I might not, so I'm going to give him an apple. But he's upset. Why is he upset? Because you got two apples, and I only got one. Now, we human, and we only talk about apples. The jinn, who's a creature, there's only three creatures, the jinn is saying, who the hell is they created out of dirt and mud and clay is able to do what comes to their mind and call them the Khalifa over top of the universe? That's a lot of power, brothers and sisters. And that's who we are. But we don't understand who we are. So Iblis said, let me try them. I guarantee you, Lord, that they will not obey you. I've come from the left, the right, the front, the back, and I'll cross them up. And it's happening. My God, is it happening? Now, one thing about Iblis, he's a very highly intelligent creature, but he cannot come up to the level of a human being. That's why he beat you up in your flesh. He gets you with your ego. He gets you with your lying and being deceitful. He gets you with your weakness to want to gamble, to want to, you know, in the Bible it says, no intoxication, but yet most of the Christians gets drunk. It says no fornication. And they said, gambling is one of the biggest tricks of Satan. So Satan, and it's been written, he only is able to do what? Con you, trick you, fake you out to the point you lose your mother and father, to the point you lose your husband, your wife, to the point you lose your children out there in the street. When that happens, he gluts. I told you, Lord, Allah said the final day of judgment is not here yet. It's not over. They have time to repent. And my faithful followers, you will not get. But if, in fact, all those follow you, Satan, I will put you and them in the hellfire. That's when I came to the conclusion that the devil is not over the hellfire. Because when we was Christians, we thought he had a pitchfork that red with long ears, and he was down in the earth. That's what they taught us. And if you go in the earth, you go into hell. When earth is heaven, we were created out of heaven. And they didn't call it man's earth, they called it Mother Earth. So we say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. the Lord of all the worlds. We thank Allah. We thank Him for giving us a mercy to all humanity, not just to us, to all humanity. And Prophet Muhammad, Ibn Abdullah, and son of Abdullah. And we salute him with the excellent salute and salutation. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon the Prophet, descendants, and his companions. And we say with God's name, we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Adameen, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu wa deen. I want to start off a little early today because so many things are happening. And we don't know what's happening until someone ask a question, and in that question, sometimes they give you a little story. And we don't know that we are going through trials and error. The only thing can help us is Allah, but Allah don't help those who don't help themselves. So it means that you have to take your step first, and He'll take two. But if you don't take your step, then Allah is not going to help you. And I like to say, and I'm not redundant, but I try to be consistent, and say, Allah said, I will not help people that do not change that which is bothering their soul. And that's a very strong statement coming from the Lord of all the worlds, that He will not help you. And the jinn will make you think, I told you God gave up on you. No, He did not. He is saying that your soul speaks to you. He created the soul to speak to you. But because we're so hung up on this material world, we forget the creation that God has given to you when He said the prophet, Iqra, read in the name of your Lord that created. So when you learn internal organs of which God has created for you, all that operates by the word of God. That's the angels. And so therefore, do you listen to your soul? Because your soul will tell you what's right or wrong. And because you won't listen to your soul, why would God help you? See? So once again, you have to help yourself. God helps those who help themselves. And you have to be able to give back. And this radio station is a gift. Because we're able to communicate on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent, Ron Speaks, and we come 7 days a week. But then you have free conference call. And a free conference call is a good creation because it assists in the way of communication and being able to talk to the world in our conversation. Because we are having conversations. It might be 10 of you, 20 of you, 50 of you all. But we're having a conversation. They never heard the Islamic brothers and sisters have a conversation. Because when you go over your aunt, you're quiet. When you go around your cousins, you're quiet. You don't go to the church, so they don't even meet you or see you. You don't go to the synagogue, so they don't know nothing about you. And don't live in the neighborhood, you say hi and keep going. How you doing? And you keep going. But you don't even know who lives next door because you don't communicate with them. You don't associate with them. But yet, Muhammad the Prophet, who we follow 1,400 years ago, he communicates with all humanity. Allah sent them around the world. Through the Holy Quran. So we have to communicate. So the first time we're having a conversation, even though it's between us and Islam, but the conversation's open to the world. This is an open mic. We don't know how many people out there. If it's one, 100 will be allowed to mean, but it could be millions listening to you, not just in America, around the world. How do you not want to be a part of that? And for all you that shy, no one's looking at you. don't know what you got on. They're not dressing that. Don't know what you look like. They're not addressing that. They're not seeing, do you wear a wig or you don't wear a wig? It don't even exist. Just like it don't exist to us what Muhammad, the prophet of 1,400 years ago, looked like. Now you practice an idol god. You worry about the clothing. You worry about his sandals. You worry about the color of his skin. You worry about how tall he is. Brothers and sisters, that don't even exist. Well, now that you're studying that, why don't you study what Adam looks like? You can't tell me. Well, tell me what Moses looked like. Don't tell me what the Caucasians did made Moses look white. But you want to make him look black. How do you know what he looked like? How do you know what Jesus really looked like? Well, because you don't know, they paint a picture for you. Blue eyes, blonde hair, and pale face. And you went for it. Had it all in your churches. Then they gave you a physical cross. Didn't tell you what the real cross was about. And then said that you were so much of a, that you're never going to believe in one God. You have to believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So because back then, because that back then was barbarians, and they were drinking blood from the animal. Didn't cook it. Didn't know nothing about cooking. So they would drink the blood from the animal, and they would eat that raw meat. Yes, and they drink their beer, wine, whatever it was back then. Today, they said the only way you're going to bring them around is still give them that savagery. But tell them they're not drinking blood. That's why it's wine, because it's red. They're drinking God's blood. Wow. Well, what is that little pill? That's the flesh. Tell them it's the flesh of Jesus. Oh, boy, did y'all get hooked. So they say, I tell you, that's why they laugh. And then you go, oh, Pastor. Yes, my dear. Oh, I had sex last night. Yes, my dear. Well, I had sex with three men last night. Yes, my dear. Please forgive me. And all the time, he's freaking off. So you're talking to a man. Now he knows you. You know, spilt your guts to him. Now he knows that you're so in love with him and you don't see him doing anything wrong. So now you got thousands, hundreds of thousands of priests got your little boy bent over because you told him he was the next thing to God. So those kids, them children that was molested is because you told him that's the closest you're going to get to Jesus or to God himself. So we mess our children up. Today in El-Islam, shut up. I'm praying. Shut up. Your daddy is in Raqqa, Ruku. He's making Raqqa. Shut up. Killing the children. Shut up. Did you study the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When he went down in Sajda and them babies on his head, he wouldn't move. He wouldn't move. Prayed that they might hurt themselves. So he wouldn't move. That's why he never told the child to shut up. But in the man's skin, you got women. Can you control that little boy? He's running around everywhere. If you don't let the child be free, he'll never come to prayer. You make him feel good about it. And then watch. You don't have to tell him. There's no compulsion of children making prayer. 3 years old, they bowing their head in Sajda. 5 years old, 7 years old. Why? Because they see their daddy. They see their daddy always praying. You go in some homes and you say, I saw Hickory song. Say, your husband went to, he's there with his wife, keep that in mind. Your husband went to the store, he'll be back? Yes. Well, it's time for prayer. Can you tell me which way is east? Oh, I don't know. He don't pray all the time. Some don't pray at all. Too much trouble. They don't have the understanding that prayer is a necessity. It's not a luxury. It will help you in your everyday life. My beautiful, gorgeous niece, my lovely specimen of a human being, Serena, is you out there? Salima?
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, that's a bit much. Assalamu alaikum.
I love you because you're a go-getter. My God, you're a go-getter. I want to say this. You asked me about how do we help David. And David said something on that. I'm going to send it to you. He did a wonderful job. He told the truth. He says, I've been giving y'all free conference calls for years. But don't ever think that I wasn't making money. I had the corporations to pay, so y'all didn't have to pay. But the corporations are in trouble, and that puts him in trouble. So he's asking the means people to make a contribution, and he don't care how much it is. It could be a dollar. It could be $20. It could be $100, whatever you choose. However, when he said this, he had me. Even if you don't have any money, I understand it because of COVID-19, he said you will still get free conference. See, I like that. So I'm going to go a little further, and I'm going to speak to him. I'm quite sure with my ability, Allah has blessed me to be on the level that anytime Jerry Jones pick up the phone or Steve Jobs, may Allah be pleased when he picked up the phone, anytime that Bob Iger, CEO of Walt Disney, picked up the phone, or Phil Knight of Nike pick up the phone. I'm quite sure he will pick up the phone because he does not equal them in being a multi-billionaire. And by the way, there's a man that's a billionaire just like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, but this one here, he chose to put his money behind Black Lives Matter, and he wants to help them to take it to another level. And see, this is how Allah works. Allah will send you those who had the ability to give you the things that you need, but they don't see you doing anything. But because Black Lives Matter has moved tremendously and shutting down the powers to be with what? With unity. Unity is the key. And so I've been trying to advocate that there's so many Muslims in America, and there's so many of us that don't even know that Block Talk Radio exists. And no one understand that a conference call exists. So I think we can be very beneficial to him, and he can be very beneficial to us because we need a friend, and we need communication, people who has proven, without a shadow of a doubt, to create a communication such as the one we're utilizing today. So what's on your beautiful mind? That's my humble opinion.
Thank you so much. I think it's important. I have two questions today. The first question, why is it stated in some forums that instrumental music is haram in Al-Islam?
Well, this is Allah. The pagans, I believe, never knew what music was, or if they had it back then, they didn't like it. When Prophet Muhammad, prayers, peace upon him, went to Medina, the brothers, the companions, was ahead of him. And so the sisters was using, and if I can express it, you know how they do that. They do a very good job. And the brothers were hitting the tangerines that we call it today. and they was dancing that he was coming. So they told him, they told them, you cannot do this. You can't do this. No, we don't need this music. We don't need you hollering. We don't need. And the prophet said, do not stop their culture. This is a true story. Do not stop their culture. Let them be. That's when the approval of music around the world. Because if someone plays the bass, you don't know what nationality you hear that bass. If someone blow the trumpet, like Miles Davis, or here's a guy sound like Miles Davis, you don't know his complexion, and you don't know his nationality. What about the drummer? You know, James Brown said, get the drummer some. So you don't know what that, so all our life, the ancestors, was not able to talk to each other. The ancestors had to communicate. So they communicated in dancing. They communicated in playing the drum. But it wasn't just music. It sent a message to move your soul, to feel better about yourself. And they was catching plenty of hell. So here you come. Here comes someone that tells you this is Haran from a man-made instrument. And you can take that instrument and make it sound so pleasing. Now, everybody can't play the piano, but when you hear that piano play, boy, do it sound good. My God, that King Cole knew how to play that piano. And you got a lot of females was excellent piano players. So we love the piano. We love the music, the violin. Oh, my God, is it pleasing to us. It has no religion. It has no nationality. It has no language. It's a gift that's given to that individual to be able to make you feel good about yourself. So the preacher was right. The preacher will play that organ. You see, when I went to the skating rink, there was no such thing, no hip-hop music. It was an organ. And we used to dance around that, that was the organ. Boy, we would be four in a line going around, doing steps and dancing on our skates. That's what music does. Music makes you feel good. Even when you go to a Latino restaurant at the evening. Now, they don't start, Mexicans don't start till around 11 o'clock. That's when they start eating. But when you hear those violins and you hear them singing, you say, whoa, and those horns blowing. You don't want to eat. You just want to hear them. And these are Mexicans. Go to China and go around the club and you say, my God, James Brown is here. And you run in there and it's not James Brown. My God, Michael Jackson came to China. It's not Michael Jackson. Same with the Philippines. Same with China. All those different countries, you will find out they sound like us. Now go to the islands, Bahamas. You will hear our music. You will hear our words because they singing all our words, but they put it in the way of their music. And I say, whoa, this is why they could take our songs and do it over again. I tell you right now, if you don't like music, you got a hole in your soul. Because I was in a church about 4 months ago, 6 months ago, and I got up and said, I don't know, brothers, because I brought about 40 brothers and sisters with me. And I said, if you can't pat your feet, you must got a hole in your soul. Because that music made me feel good. I love to hear that. When people can sing, when people can sing and an orchestra can sing, but they, it's a culture. And it's, everyone got a different culture. But when you get behind the wall, we don't know who you are. So it's not the right thing to do. We should understand, you don't want to swim, don't go to the beach. A lot of people like the water. Now, I go to the water, I don't swim, because I don't like to swim. But I like the beach. I like to see people swimming. If you don't want to watch TV, then turn your TV off. But you can't knock somebody else that watch TV, but that's what they want you to do. If the foreigners could teach us, Salima, you will not have forks and knives and spoons. You'll be eating with your hand like a savage. That's what you will be doing. Because that's what they want. They want you to wear their clothing, and their clothing is so thin you will freeze during the wintertime. But you want to look like them in your clothing. If you go to the North Pole don't dress like us here in America. Why? Because it's 7-8 below zero. You'll be a fool to not put on the clothes they have. Well, brother, I got to wear my hijab. Yeah, you wear your hijab in a frozen country like the North Pole. You can do it, but you will be sick. So you dress according to the climate. You dress according to the style of that country. Is something, because I've been there. There's a whole lot of sheikhs that come into the casinos. And because I'm on that level, I see them all. Boy, they come in their turbans, and they come in about 8-9 of them. But when I see them come out, after they arrived in Las Vegas, they dress like me. And they just look like white mans in suits or white mans in just regular clothes. Why? They don't want to look like no fool walking around Vegas as if you shake Muhammad or shake Salah or shake. They don't want that. Now, when they leave, they back in their clothing. But not when they're here in America. So today you walk past people and don't even know they got Islam, because they won't tell you. But they got Islam. And they're here for a reason, inshallah. That's my humble opinion. What's your second one?
Second question. Thank you so much for that. Second question. What is the protocol of jihad?
The protocol of jihad is yourself. Yourself is jihad. You've got to declare war on that jinn that's disturbing you. That's the first jihad that Muhammad the Prophet was talking about. You in a fight. That jinn gets you to think and desire things that you know you don't want. But you have to fight him because he has no power. He just simply calls you. You know, so well put. And this lady, she had the biggest mansion in this Western movie. But she was a mythical. So she would go out and tell that man to come to her house. Of course he wants to go into that beautiful home. But that's not what she wanted him there. And so she had sex with him, had sex with him, had sex with him, had sex with him. So he comes back to the house, and the butler says, oh, no, you can't come here. He said, I come here every day for the last week. He said, you can't come here today. He said, why not? And she said, you better get out of my house. He said, I thought you loved me. I didn't love you. I just did what I wanted to do, and I'm finished with you. So you can't come back here. I'd like to die. Well, that's what Satan does. He invites you. So we think jihad is to declare war on somebody. We're in a war. Yes, that's jihad. You fight against those who fight against you. But there is not anyone other than that jinn in you, in order for you to stay in your taqwa, is called jihad. You got to fight that enemy because he's going to follow you all the way to your grave. That's my humble opinion. That's an excellent question, dear. Where do you get these questions from, Salima? Are you there? You can take your phone off.
I'm here. I was like, I study, and I've had the blessing of being around various Islamic communities. And these are some of the questions that came up in those communities. So I may or may not have had the answer to them at that specific time, so I wrote them down. And each week I review some of the questions that really served as curiosity, you know, myth or fact, that I think is so important to service the current community.
So, if all of us had that kind of concern for each other, and I don't try to embarrass anyone, it's like seeing a grown man and you give him a piece of paper, I can see that he can't read. So I said, excuse me, let me read that for you. Because I don't want him to shame himself.
Yes, sir.
You see a person at the counter and they said, okay, $55. She said, oh, I have to put $5 back because I only got 50. All depends on who that individual is. Could be a Caucasian woman that looks to be 75 or 80. I'll pay the whole thing. If she's a younger person and scruffing, then I might pay that $5. Depends on how I perceive who or she is, not by the color of the skin or who they are. But no one sees that but her and the gentleman that's taking the money. Those are the concerns that we're supposed to have with people. When we see someone that got bags, excuse me, I'll help you with those bags. When you hear the word that we follow the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, what is our barakat? We don't know what they are. What is the Sunnah? The Sunnah is to assume your responsibility on things that you don't have to do. That's the Sunnah. Carry that bag. I don't have to pay for that. I don't have to help that little boy, that little girl. No. And I don't care what complexion their skin is or who they may be. They are a human being. And the angels can come to you like that. How do you know that was an angel? I was in Jersey City, and we was in a restaurant, and a lady came in, a very attractive elderly lady, and it was kind of chilly outside, and she didn't have the right clothes because you could tell she was from a foreign country. And I looked down, and I saw her in slippers, and the guy said, get out of here. Get out of here. I didn't like that. So when I came out, I saw her standing there. So I went over and greeted her, and I said, go get you something to eat. So my assistant that was with me, she said, you gave her some money, didn't you? I said, how do you know that? She said, well, I've been your assistant for years. I guarantee you, you gave her at least $100, and I laughed. But that could have been the angel. Allah tries you. But we don't know it. We just take for granted. So what you are saying is what everyone ought to do. I didn't always knew these questions. How I know? I ask questions. I comprehend very well, but I'm going to question you. I'm going to ask you why you do this, why you do that. And before I go to the next person, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if a lot of brothers knew it, but talked about Baccarat. And a brother that I end up battling with is the one who gave me the answer. He said, go look at Baccarat. And you said, my God, my sister and I was going to talk to you about Baccarat. Now, that can't be accidental. That's the will of Allah. And you was amazed that what you were going to speak about, I already spoke on it because a man told me, go to that Baccarat and you will see it clearer than you looking at it as if I disclose my generosity, I only get one for one. And one thing about you, when you get knowledge, you scream. And I like that because the Imam taught me when the night of power comes, it's like an explosion in your head, but it's not fire. It's the light of understanding comes to you. You're so joyful. And that's the way I see you. When you get something, you're very joyful. And brothers and sisters that's listening, this sister is just like my sister. This niece of mine read that Bible, I'm sorry, the Quran, every day like my sister reads it, every day. She says sometimes she puts it down, and all of a sudden she grabs the page right back to the Quran. That's because you're searching, when you're searching. And I'm announcing, yes, because it's my space, again, nobody blocked me, her and her sister, and well, her and her sister will start their own show this month. Now, she can tell me, let's do it this week. Let's do it next week. I gave her the column launch to be able to say when she wants to start. And how we should start it is all three of us get on the line and talk about it so I can get them in the groove, get them in the groove. And then when you get them in the groove, they'll see how easy this is. And they'll just continue, and I'll be enjoying just sitting listening to them. And that's your show. So if you ever see me, brother and sister, 6 months from now on their show or 3 months from now on their show, because they invited me. I don't dictate to nobody. I don't control anything. When I say that's yours, that's yours. You need help, you call me. If you want me to come on, you can invite me. But there's so many people that got things to say. But we don't want you to say it. I have a sister that came on the air, and she usually don't ask questions. And she asked me a question. And I'm going to tell you. And she asked me a question. I said, hold that question. I don't want to answer that question. You just hold that question. I'm going to answer it for you. Take a little time, but I want the people in radio land to hear the answer of that question. She said, okay, okay. And she comes on because she's good and she's on now listening. You know, I called a brother and I said, brother, do you hear my show? You know, I couldn't get to the show because I wanted to know something. So I said, that's okay. I know someone that's not fail. And she says, Murad, how do you know I don't fail? You don't live in this house. I said, did you hear the show? Yes, I did. I'm going to hear you all the time. So I like that. That's what motivates me. That's what makes me who I am, is because good comes back to the people that Allah gives it to. And when you least expect it, they will say how well you have done. Samad, are you there? Samad, if you're there, take your mute off. Now, my brother Samad, he said something to me. Now, Samad, now he worked for two major companies, one called the post office and one called his brother. So my brother Samad is very struggle in his way of finance. He doesn't want for nothing. And surely he's in retirement. But he said, I will get on the show, but they charge me a penny or 2 cents a minute. Now, when he said 2 cents a minute, I said, what's with that? He said, you're right. Ain't nothing with that. But when he got the bill, he didn't know it was 2 cents a minute. If he's on three times, that's three times the 2 cents a minute that he stays on. That got him. So he says to me that I will not go on the show until I find someone don't have to pay. Because in certain area codes, you don't have to pay. I don't know what it is. It could be the phone. I don't know. But what I tried to tell everybody, it's not about money. This is a real world, and you got to get through this real world to get to the hereafter. When you neglect knowledge, and nobody knows this because no one is telling that in the final day of judgment, God will question you, and your lips is so sealed. You cannot speak. You can't argue your way out of it. There's two angels, and I always talk about the angel on the right, but that angel on the left takes you to hell. It writes everything, everything you've done. And the only time it's erased is when you beg God for forgiveness and repent, it comes off. But if you don't do that, in the final day, it will be read what you have done. Now, I want you brothers to understand, you husbands, you fathers, you sons, when you say that I've given money to my mother, that's good. Surely Allah loves that. But he gave you a good mother. You wouldn't be here. I give money to my father. Sure, it's good. Don't you think that God ain't pleased with it? But one for his seed, you wouldn't be here. I gave money to my wife and children. Yes. But my God, I gave you beautiful children. I gave you a beautiful wife. What have you done for humanity? That's the question God asked. Because you was okay during this world. Now, if you beat your wife, that's on your record. If you neglect your wife and children, that's on your record. If you make your mother angry, listen to what God says. If you send your mother the night, the dad crying, he pushes you close to the hellfire. That's how important mamas are. So don't misconstrue what I'm saying. But the barakat that comes, have you done for humanity? And so therefore, you won't know this. And there's not too many stations that you can come to and learn what you're learning today. Now, here's a sister that reads the Quran every day. But there's things in the Quran that Imam says you can't figure out. He said, leave it and go to the next one. Because by the time you get through three surahs, you don't found the answer on the first one that you left. Allah gave it to you. Strong the Quran is. But we got to understand, this is not an Islamic country. So you got to go through trials and error and understand what's allowed and what's around. Because that which you don't need, you bypass. But you can't do that in your gambling. You can't do that if you're on drugs. You can't do that if you're selling drugs. You can't do that if you're just running through women. This is not Islam. But in the final day of judgment, Allah says, listen, in the final day of judgment, you will be crying, oh, Lord, please send me back, because now you know how easy it was. So send me back, Lord. No more of this world for you. You have to pay. And if your good don't outweigh your bad, you go to the hellfire. I don't care who you are. But Allah gave you 51%. You're going to be 49-51. You made it. But I'm not trying to crawl into heaven. I don't even want to walk into heaven. I don't want to run into heaven. I don't even want to fly into heaven. I want to be able to be on the seventh level of heaven if it's God's will. Now he puts me there, it's his will. Surely I have no control over that. But I feel in my heart that I made it to heaven. I'm on ground zero. I'm working hard to get to that first floor. I'm working hard to get on the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. Well, Allah says the human being that educates himself, and we thought it meant just the social degree, the bachelor degree, the master degree, the PhD. We thought it meant that. Yes, that is education. But when you can educate yourself with that and incorporate it of the Quran or Revelation and give it back, you sit on the level of the prophet. Say, man, my human beings will sit on the level of the prophet. So, sisters, don't let nobody tell you. Don't let nobody tell you that you're different than the man. Masculine you are, but not your soul, not your spirit, not your DNA, the picture, the nature which is created, and not your taqwa. And once you learn that, you don't let nobody disrespect you. But you compliment that man. And a man compliments the female. And we have to understand, in order to get there, two pair of eyes is better than one. I have your back and you got my front. The man has to be out front. And if something happened to you in the street, who's going to call for help because you are in trouble? If you faint behind the wheel, who's going to help you? When these men want to be so alone, they are dying behind the wall, literally. And then when you get them into a hospital and a doctor says, well, you know, he's been laying there for 24 hours. What that means? He's brain dead, but he's not dead. I said, what happened? He had a stroke. Well, why do you think he's laying there? I guess he had no way of calling anybody. You know what I mean? Men died like that. I don't want to mention their names, but they are dead today because they live by themselves. Sure enough, that tells us that ain't one Allah wants from us. Hell, man, I don't care who she may be, she's going to help you. She's going to assist you. She's going to get you in that hospital. She's going to make sure that if you're going to die, let it be Allah's will, not because you will to be stuck on stupid and not find you a wife with all these women around here. And you know what really puzzles me? When you see a man that I know he don't like himself when he look in the mirror, but he's looking for a wife that looks so well and hope when she take off her clothes, he looks just as well as she looked when he saw her. And that don't happen all the time. Because why? You in the physical. Because you can go get that physical woman, as we used to say, built like a Pepsi-Cola bottle. Beautiful hair, gorgeous eyes, but will give you hell. Why? Heart disease. She has a mentality that she don't care. And so you're in hell. Because that's what you chose. It's like going to hide. Oh, Lord, bless me with money. God gives it to you. You go to hide. Oh, Lord, bless me with a wife. Allah gives it to you. Oh, Lord, bless me with a husband. Allah will give it to you. Oh, Lord, bless me with a house. Allah will give it to you. But when you go in Hajj and you say, oh, Allah, give me whatever I deserve, Lord. I'm here, submit my total will to you, Lord. And whatever you see that I deserve, I accept. Boy, you got the sky. You got the husband, you got the wife, you got the home, you got everything you want. Because why? You didn't beg for nothing material. And these are the things you ought to know. Well, here on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Exit Enterprise, when I speak, and on free conference call, we're going to try to enlighten you. And hopefully that would help. Yeah, if I didn't speak of my brother, I probably couldn't even say this. But I thought he would definitely be on the phone. If he happened to come on later, I still would allow him to speak. Anyone else out there? Abdullah, if you're there, or if Omar, you were there, and you can hear me. Warren, if you there, if you can hear me, or Kareem. Anyone else? If not, then I'm going to go back and have my conversation, which we have a few more minutes, with a young lady who's not lost for words. And that's Salima. Now, Salima, I talked about your family. I talked about your father. And I have great love for your father. And a lot of my success in business came from your daddy. And he didn't teach me. He just came and got me and said, I guarantee you, you will like this. That was his sayings to me. And everything he looked at and he chose, I went for it. That was your daddy. Now, he's much older than I. But for him to produce, and one of the reasons that I was in his midst was because of all the children he had. And anybody that has as many children as he had to get up and go to work. He was very articulate. He was a handsome guy, tall. And he represented Cornerstone very well. And that's how the four other brothers, all five of them, they used to call us the five brothers. Because when we move as one. Two people in the front, three in the back. And we went all over this country. We used to stay in suites because we didn't want different rooms. We always wanted to be together. But we always had a plan that we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And thanks to Jabbar Muhammad, Herbert Muhammad, thanks to him. By the way, brothers and sisters, we want to make a dua for Elijah Muhammad Jr., who we call today Elijah Muhammad II, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the captain of the FOI and the brother of Imam Wallace Dean Muhammad. And he is a brother that I have great love for, unbelievable love for. And it was amazing to me because I wanted to ask him, what did he think that me and Yusuf was able to take the front rostrum and sit on it for 27 times during Theology of Time. But he had sugar diabetes because it ran in the family. His father had it, Jabbar had it, and no telling else whoever had it. But I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that at all, and I didn't want to disturb him. So the idea he passed, we want to just put our palms out and say, oh Allah, separate his sins from his goodness as thou separate the east from the west and grant him Jannah. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We had a brother that they had on the show yesterday, they told me, Eli told me, and And they talked about him being a great trainer, which he was. He was a great trainer. He used to train Bernard Hopkins. And he trained many more people. Now, he died a few days ago. But because he's from Philadelphia and because he did a lot of good things, we cannot forgive him. And Bernard Hopkins should not forgive him, because he took Bernard Hopkins to another level. And because he took Bernard Hopkins to another level, that they gave him the count on ESPN and gave him the count just recently. And these are the things that make a family feel good. So we want to say the same thing about that great trainer by saying that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separate his faults from his goodness as thou separate the east from the west and grant him Jannah. If we can do that, say Allah, speak the truth. We can do that for a lot of people. We can say alhamdulillah. Now, someone must have just come on because you're breathing hard. It sounds like my brother.
I apologize, Mirage. This is Slaudin.
Slaudin. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah. Alaykum assalam. Assalamu alaikum. How's everything?
Very well. We ask people on this line, Saladin.
Hi.
We ask people on the line, are you from Texas?
No, I'm up in Mays Landing.
Mays Landing.
New Jersey.
Is there anything on your mind you would like to ask me?
No, I'm just listening, bro.
Well, you have a right to.
I know.
And we thank you. We thank you. It should be 1,000 more. What we are trying to do, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I'm going to say it now because all of us got 20 hours. If it was 5,000 of us, and that's easy to do, 5,000. We got 20 hours. All of us got 20 hours. If you multiply that $20 times 5,000, you got enough money to help people. It might not sound a lot of money to you, but it's a lot of money collectively for $20. Well, everybody got $20 a month. But we're able to help so many people. There's so many people in the streets. There's so many people right now that lost their homes. Where did they go? They put them in a shelter because the house burned down, but they keep them in the shelter for about 3 months, and then they get rid of them. And they get rid of them. Where do they go? No one takes them in, regardless whether they're in Islam, whether they're in Christianity. But because we 5,000 strong, therefore you know it, we are 100,000 strong. Therefore,
Abdullah,
you know,
Muhammad.
For you know it, $20,000
from
$12 from each one of us can help a whole lot of people to the point we start buying our own homes and clean them up and put them in there for free to be able to recoup and to come back. Then we got our children that's in orphan homes. Now, we had 25 children in a beautiful place, and we was teaching them. They all will go to college. Because why? You took them in. So it's collectively what I'm saying, the community collectively. This is why I created this network. Because I want to take a network. I just, now, Blog Talk Radio, I went to 3 million, but they're not you all. These are our Christians, our Jehovah's Witnesses, our Jews, and so forth and so on. But this is like an Islamic, and I say majority, on free conference call. But I don't want just Islamic. We should be the beginning. But I'm going to have everybody else coming on and asking questions. But what we want to start, you see, you don't put money in the hands of broke people. If they steal, it's your fault. Yes, they steal. They need it. Their mother got cancer, and they need the money. They're getting ready to get put out, so they need the money. But when you put money up with men that handle millions of dollars and never brought up on charges of stealing anything, you can trust that individual. But more important, in 1 year, you should see it come to fruition. It makes you feel good. Man, I talked about if we left this earth. Put your phone on mute and I won't hear it. If you left this earth, Allah will reward you as if you gave millions of dollars. See how merciful our Lord is? So I thank you, Saladin, for coming on. We're going to be on for another 10 minutes. But Abdullah, I see that you called in.
I'm still moving around. Let me just at least call in and listen tonight. Listen to all the individuals that have something to say. Have a question for you.
I thank you, Abdullah, because I was talking to a family member, and they said, "How is Rasul doing?" I said, "You need to call Abdullah, because Abdullah went there and cleaned up his whole yard. Over 90 bags of dirt and filth. See that law? Everybody's happy in the neighborhood because he's ill. And then he took the porch in the back, the deck, and made it so beautiful so he can go out there and spend his own money. And then I said, man, you need to create an organization. Find me 10 sisters. Could be 5, but 10. Because no woman wants no man coming there cleaning her house. So send those sisters in there to help them. His house is not dirty. His house is flooded because both of them are ill." He said, "You know, that's right." And when he was cleaning, a sister, Islamic sister, came by and said, "Brother, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm cleaning this up." "So I'm going to help you." And he said, all them 90 bags was he and that sister. See what we do?
Alhamdulillah.
This is what we're supposed to do for our seniors. And that man has been around since 1954. So we're supposed to do these things. But I'm hoping, inshallah, I tell everybody, when I was helping those sisters build that masjid in Philadelphia, masjid Allah, they had not one nickel. No, not one nickel. I said, "Just do what I ask you. Do what I ask you." And they followed everything I told them to do. I said, "You don't need my money. You need my ingenuity, ability." And my God, when they were putting this money in the bank, and whoever this mama's donor, he said, "Show me $75,000 more and watch what I send you." And that's how they bought that building for $2.5 million. It's one of the best masjids. They took over the synagogue, and that sister said, "Only thing I want Allah to do is take that Star David off that roof." I said, "You kidding, sister?" She said, "Yeah." So she took it off, but the Christians brought it. She said, "Now I need the Christians to sell me that building." I said, "Well, how much is that building?" She said, $2.5 million. I said, "How much you got?" She said, "Not one nickel." I said, "I love you already." So that's how you're supposed to think. And them 10 sisters got together and did everything I asked them to do, and they're successful. I ain't never asked them for anything. It's not what I want to do. All I want to do is show us collectively, not individually, collectively, Allah will reward you if you do it for the community, not just for yourself. You do it for the community. And we got a newspaper, sisters and brothers. We have a newspaper on my station. I'm going to ask all of you, take two papers. What is two papers? What is $4? You take two papers and give it to someone. But in that paper is you. This is the only real communication you have. If we put in there, and we can do it, because the back page costs you, what, $1,000, $1,002, whatever it costs. What does that cost us, $2 a piece? So we take in by the back page and say, "Sister so-and-so just built the organization. She's going to be on Blog Talk Radio." And such. You know how many people will be calling in, because that tape will go in every city. Every city. And inshallah, I'm willing to say it. My wife will always say, "Why you tell people what you're going to do?" Because I was taught You'll never tell nobody what you're going to do. You do it and tell the world. But that's when I was in the world. But this, no one's on that level to steal what we're going to do. The Muslim Journal, in my mind, will be in every newspaper stand in this country, every plane that you go into any terminal, you will see it there. You will see it on every plane in first class. And then when we really get sophisticated, we'll start putting in their language, as long as it's approved by us, that you can't just put anything in our newspaper that's going to hurt the country or hurt the world. That's our asset, and we don't even know that. We walk past it, we don't buy it, we don't even look at it. And this is why white folks look at us and say, they ain't got it. Because they walk to them shrines. Them shrines come out every year on them horses. And you see Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Salam, Allah, and then they go hide again for a whole year. They in the government. So when they come to them, like the president, say, well, what do you think about those people that follow Farrakhan? Well, I don't know. You see, he don't like the Jews. Whoa, he don't like the Jews. What do you think about those people that follow Imam Wallace Muhammad? Oh, they cut and try. They don't even listen to each other. They different tribes. They got a tribe over here, a tribe over there, a tribe over there, and each one of them are individual. So that hurts us. Because if we were doing that, that's not El Islam. Then Farrakhan got a family member. It's a Jew. He don't hate the Jews, but that's what they say. Now, I can't say we are not separated. Because I don't know what they're doing in California. I don't know what they're doing in Jersey. I don't know what they're doing. Why? Because it's secret. You know how the Masons keep everything secret? It's secret. Man, let me tell you something. When I went to HBO and I got all these homes, they put it out there. When I went to NBC, they said, 50 million people watch this fight. So I had a fighter say to me, he said, how you know they lying? It could be 70 million. I said, if it was 70 million, they will promote it because now all the advertisers want to be a part of that. 70 million homes, I'm going to put my product in their homes. That's what it is out, the numbers. So where's our number? I'll tell you where our numbers is. Masjid over here got 40 people. Masjid over here got 20. Masjid over here got 100. Masjid over here got 200. Masjid over here got 300. And there some might have 1,000. Is that Islam? Is that Islam when there's almost 20 million of us in America? But 20 million of us don't move. But who's moving? You know who's moving? All our hard work. Black, black, black. Until the foreigners came, you didn't want to be black no more. So you don't want to be black, but you can't produce nothing. And you haven't created nothing. So watch this. So I'm going to touch every heart of every human being around this world. And so in Venezuela, in Mexico, in Korea, in Tokyo, in Poland, in India, in Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia, all around the world, Germany says, black life matters. You lost it. You let someone turn you away. Black reality means darkness. You're not in the light of understanding. It has nothing to do with the color of one's skin. Black ain't no color anyway. It's the idea that we were deaf, dumb, and blind, and we was in the dark. Today, we in the light. What we created in 1930, the Asiatic black man, to make it all the cream of the planet Earth, follow the civilization, God of the universe, and nobody liked it. And then James Brown started singing, Black, I'm Proud. And then my brother said, you don't call me black. I ain't your brother. But today, they ain't saying white folks. They're not saying yellow folks, brown folks. They're not saying Italians and Irishmen. They're saying black lives matter. And because Allah is centered around the world, because this couldn't happen without the will of Allah, here come a billionaire, a multi-billionaire, and say, I want to help them. See, that's how help comes, because they read just like you read. God only helps those who help themselves. I thank you all for listening, and if I say anything to hurt anybody, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. Surely that's not my intention. I ask for your forgiveness. And if I said anything wrong, I'm human. I make mistakes. We say subhanAllah. But if I say anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen, and the fiction and nature in which you have come from, stand up in your obedience to God, your loyalty to God, your faith in God, that's your taqwa. Don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah glorifies his name. I greet you from our father, who we talked about just once in a while, Adam. That's our biological father. And I greet you from our father, Abraham. Don't misconstrue. He's not our biological father. We ain't got one. He's the child of Adam. Abraham, whatever you want to call him, he is the father of the intellectual mind and personality. And I greet you from Jesus, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Christ means pure. Christ means Muslim. Jesus Christ said, I am in you or you in me. Alhamdulillah. And I greet you from Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, the seal of the prophet. 1,400 years ago, we greet him with the excellent salute given to mankind. Why? Because when we salute him, we salute all the prophets at once. Hey, they had all those ingredients in him. But look what he said. He came after Jesus. He said, we are a mirror of one another. So what's in the prophet is in you. The uswa of the prophet is in us. We can't be the prophet. There's no more coming. Can't be equal or better. But we can surely take on his uswa because he is telling Muhammad, this is Allah talking, telling Muhammad that you are mortal human beings just like you. We are mortal human beings just like the prophet. That's what the prophet is saying. But we get spooked up. And we don't understand that he's the perfect example. But he can't be perfect, Murad. Why he can't be perfect, brother? Because Allah says no man perfect. No man. Get it straight. When he read to us 23 years of the Surah of the Quran, that's perfect. He never told us what he said. He told us what God said. And that's what made him perfect. And after that, Allah removed him. But you can't talk about what he did after the Quran was completed. So he become the perfect example. If we would follow the example of Allah in the Quran, that the prophet don't take no credit for it. He was a messenger. He's not a prophet to God. God has no prophets. All of them are messengers. They're slave servants. I'm your host tonight, Murad Muhammad. And I thank you for tuning in. Tomorrow, Imam Eli Obey will be on from 7 to 8, and then our sister Michelle Muhammad will teach you how to eat the lair from 8 to 9. And then on Thursday, Imam Eli Obey will return, and he's on from 7 to 8. He teaches the tafsir of Imam Rushdie Muhammad. And then Friday, we have our beautiful brother Musa Muslim Abui, named by Imam Rushdie Muhammad, the great grandson of Booker T. Washington. And he does a wonderful job. And then I return. I return on 5 o'clock on Friday on free conference call. And once again, we ask you to come, whatever's on your mind, ask us questions so we can teach the world, inshallah. And then I come back on Saturday. And I'm on Saturday from 7 to 9. But this young lady, my niece, her and her son, her sister, who is a doctor, I believe they're going to take that Saturday. I believe. Now, they can have Sunday, too. It's up to them. It's up to them which one they take, but I am so elated that I found women that wants to speak, because we're not going nowhere without our females. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. May God be with you. And we say, oh Allah, bless those who got the COVID-19, tried to save them and help them with their sickness, and those are sick. Ask Allah to lift the mercy off from them. And those who are trying to keep sane and taking care of your family business, trust in Allah. He close to you in your jugular vein. You don't need me. You don't need no email. Talk directly to God. He will talk back to you, inshallah. Peace and love.